everybody today. Y'all tired of seeing me up here yet? I know I'm nice to look at. I shouldn't lie in church, should I? Y'all, I'm excited about today. We went to a wedding last weekend, and the fella that got married, his best man got up and gave a speech, and his the maid of honor gave a speech, and then the DJ just bust him out. He's like, "All right, man, it's time for you to toast your bride." And dude was kind of like I wasn't preparing that, you know. So he gets up there, and this is pretty much his conversation. "I love her so much. I'm very uncomfortable right now." That was his whole thing. So I said, "I ain't going to leave her. I'm very uncomfortable. At least I can tell the story about him and make y'all laugh at him and kind of take some pressure off of me right now." But Pastor Clint, thank you for letting me speak. When he come back to me about a month ago, he asked me, he said, "Would you like to speak on our Running with the Giants series?" And I never, ever, ever, unless something's deathly wrong, I never turned down a chance to share the Word of God. So I'm excited about today, and I've got something planned up for you. Me and my boy Jesus, we've been working on something for y'all. But we've been talking about the giants of faith. You know, this whole series is called Running with the Giants. And we've been talking about, we kicked off with Isaiah, and then we went to Jacob, then Elijah, Elisha. Let me get that right, Elisha. We went to Mary, Rahab. Y'all know what we talked about last week. It's how to wait on God, how things ain't in our time. We don't try to rush things. We wait on God. We learned that with Sarah and Abraham. And then I got to think, the giants. Everybody knows the giants. But what about the no-names? The ones that are overlooked, the ones that people really don't know who they are. I feel like we fit in more with that category than the giants. I'm not saying people in here won't do big things. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying, as for me, I relate to the common folk, the people that's easily overlooked when you think about the people of today and you think about the great speakers and all these people are having a giant impact. I ain't putting God in the box, but I don't see my name ain't up there with Billy Graham and all of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest here. So I'm thinking, what about the common folk? So this is what today's for. This message is for the common folk. It's not for the Isaiahs and the Jacobs and the Elijahs, Elishas. It's not for the big guys. This is for the small guys, the ones that maybe ain't picked first on the team, the guys that are maybe picked towards the end of the row. Hey, I was picked towards the end a lot. I played middle school basketball. Not for the school, played at recess every day. For 3 years in middle school, you know how many baskets I made? Zero. I wouldn't pick first on the team, but hey, I like to be there. I like to have fun. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a guy that is easily overlooked when you think of the Bible, and you think about all the names, the big names. You don't really think about Andrew, do you? Does anybody know who Andrew is? Well, don't say nothing, Miss Carolyn. Because once I get to talking about him, you'll realize who he is. But he's not one of the first ones you think of when you think about the big names, the giants of faith in the Bible. But I'm going to give you a background before we jump into Scripture. We're going to be in John chapter 1 if you got your Bibles. And the background on this is everybody knows who John the Baptist is, right? You had John the Baptist. He was a preacher, a prophet. He went around, he baptized people, he preached repentance, and he had a following. Well, he had some disciples. Well, one of his disciples was named Andrew. Well, anyways, when the Pharisees, they would come and they'd question John the Baptist, "Who are you? You know, like, what authority? How do you do what you do?" And he was telling them, he's like, "I'm not the Messiah." He said, "I'm just a voice in the wilderness. I'm making straight the way for the Lord." And I'm paraphrasing, y'all can go back and read it in John 1, I encourage you to. But and he was telling him, he's like, "I'm not the Messiah." He's like, "I just baptized with water. But there's a guy coming after me. He don't baptize with water. He baptizes with fire." He's talking about Jesus coming after him and baptizing with the Holy Spirit. He's like, "But I'm not the Messiah. I'm just making the way for him." He says, "You know what? I'm not even worthy to tie this man's shoes that I'm talking about. I can't even tie his shoes. That's how much greater he is than I am." So John has told everybody this. His disciples have heard of this Messiah that's coming. Well, then one day, guess who shows up? Jesus walks up on the scene, right? And John's like, he baptizes him. And when Jesus comes up, it says, the heavens are open and the Spirit of God came down like a dove and landed on him. And John is saying, this is him. Because God told me that the man that the Holy Spirit come down on and stayed on, this is the one. So John is saying, this is the guy I've been telling you about. And this is where we'll pick up in verse 35, John 1, 35. Y'all following me, church? Y'all awake? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Father God, I thank you that you will breathe your life on this word, on these pages. Father God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just use me as a mouthpiece. Father God, set me to the side. Anoint my lips. Let it be just you, Holy Spirit. Let me speak directly to the people's hearts, Father God. Let me speak your words for what they need to hear, Father God, and the situation they're in, what they're going through. I pray that you just open their hearts now to receive you. I pray that you'll open their ears to hear you speak, Father God. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's go back to verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. He sees Jesus coming by. Look, it's the Lamb of God. What's the disciples do? They just like walked off and left John. Say, hey man, this guy you're talking about, we're going. We're going after him. So they follow Jesus. And this is Jesus turning around, somebody walking behind him. What you want? And then you like to think of Jesus as being, oh, you know, I'm so glad you came. Wrapping you up, give you a big hug. That's the way I would see Jesus doing this. And the other night when I was reading this, it just jumped off the page at me. What do you want? What do you want? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Cam, what do you want in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I understand, I don't think Jesus was being rude here. I think he was asking a superficial question. Did I say that word right? I think he was asking a superficial question, a surface level, like, why are you following me? What, do you need something? Why are you following me? But then I got to thinking, and my wheels got to turning. I do think sometimes. But them wheels got to turning, and I was like, you know, that question goes a whole lot deeper than the surface. What do you want in your relationship with Jesus Christ? What do I want in my relationship? Like I said, I don't think Jesus was being rude. I think he's just asking, why are y'all here? But I'm going to dig in deep to this question and ask you as Christians, because I believe we need to ask ourselves sometimes, what do you want in your relationship with Christ? What do you expect in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we want a relationship where we grew up in church? We're supposed to have a relationship just because we're supposed to? Because we go to the same church our grandparents went to, that our parents went to, we sit in the same seat every Sunday, and it's what we're supposed to have? Is that the relationship you want? Do you want a relationship where, well, you just get a free pass in life? Like, I'm going to serve you, Jesus, and I'm going to get my free pass, and we're going to walk through this life, and we ain't going to have no problems. I hate to tell you, but that's not going to happen. So I hope that's not the relationship you're looking for. Do you want a relationship with God that's a bargain? Like, God, I'll come serve you. I'll come do this if you'll do this for me. That's not the way it works either. God's not a bargaining God. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to praise him with everything in you? As long as things are going good. That's not the way it works either. So what do I want in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Before I get to me, let's talk about Jesus. What does he want? Does he want a half-hearted commitment? What does the Bible say in Revelation about lukewarm? Anybody know? It's your chance to, you can have it. Spit it out. Some versions say regurgitate. Vomit. Lukewarm makes Jesus sick to his stomach. Either you're in or you're out. Either I got you all or I don't have you at all. Miss Melanie said something one day that has stuck with me. Either God's first in your life or he's not in your life. He don't settle for second best. He don't settle for second place. He's either first or all. So that's what Jesus wants for us. And he says that he wants us to show him that we love him. How? Obeying his commands. Easier said than done, right? Anybody got kids? They don't always listen, do they? I didn't always listen. I broke a bunch of rules in my life. But Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. So what you saying, Cam? Don't worry, we'll get to it. I'm saying that I'm going to praise him. God's going to get my best. He's going to get my all, no matter what happens. No matter the outcome, no matter the circumstance, God deserves your best. Is it going to be easy? No. Sometimes it's going to hurt like hell. It's going to be rough sometimes. But you know what? God is still on the throne. God is still God. He's still good. He's still loving. I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why. I don't know why people have to die young. But I ain't going to question God about it. Because we live in a fallen world, and the wicked reigns on the just and the unjust. But everything that the devil means for harm, God's going to work out for your glory. You may not see it. It may be months, it may be a long time, but God is going to work it out for His glory. And however bad it is, whatever the situation looks like, God can make a masterpiece out of it. You'll have the strongest testimony. Y'all, I went to two funerals this week. I went to a funeral Thursday for an unborn baby that never even got to take her first breath. We turned around Friday and went to a funeral of a 43-year-old fella I met from Waynesboro. He was one of the best fellas I'd ever met. He's one of the people, when you meet him, you talk to him 5 minutes, you know where he stands with God. You know he was a faith-filled man, that he believed in Jesus, that he loved the people. Well, at that funeral Friday, the place, it was the First Baptist Church in Waynesboro. It's a huge building. The building is packed out, standing room only, bottom floor, top floor, standing room only. But when we go in there, and this spoke monuments to me and Gentry, we go in there, and people are hugging his wife and his kids. He had I think 16, 17, and two younger ones. They're littler than that. And people are hugging on him, loving on him. And this man is hugging Mr. Brad's wife, and he's telling her how strong she is. And she stops him dead in his tracks. Said, "This ain't me." She said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." In the middle of all that, they're still praising God. We go into the service. Oh, I'm sorry. Another guy come up, and this was blew my mind. Another guy come up. He was from me to the microphone to her. Before he could even speak, she stopped him dead in his tracks and said, "We've been praying for you." In the middle of all this, they're laying their needs, their stuff aside, and are still praying for people, are still serving God, are still being a witness to Jesus Christ. So we go into the funeral, and they're talking about Mr. Brad, and they said that Mr. Brad would have been mad if they'd had all them people there and somebody didn't preach Jesus. So it went from a funeral service to a church service. And one of his favorite songs was "Your Great Name." You want me to sing it for you? I don't sing. Only to Jesus. But y'all know what I'm talking about. But they started playing that song, and it got almost to the chorus. And people, you know, is getting upset. And his little girl, 16, 17, how old she is, she jumps up, bawling like a baby, just hands lifted to the sky, praising Jesus. Even though her world is upside down, even though what they're going through, she just lost her daddy. They're still praising God. I think that's what Jesus, the answer he was looking for when he said, "What do you want?" When he asked those disciples, "What do you want?" I think that kind of testimony of faith is what he wants. That people are going to serve me, that people are going to praise me through it all, no matter how hard it is. That's what I think that Jesus wants. But you know, that kind of faith, that don't happen overnight. That's what me and Jen was talking about on the way home. She said, you know, that's the first time I've seen faith that strong in action. But you don't just wake up one day and are able to face a circumstance like that and still give God praise. That's an everyday living it out kind of faith. That's not a fine china. Y'all have heard me say it before. You know, your fine china, you pull it out on Easter. You pull it out on Christmas when the family comes over. That ain't that kind of faith. That's a paper plate eating messed up sloppy grits buttered down with cheese, bacon bits all over them on a paper plate kind of faith that you use every single day. It's not something you only pull out on tough occasions, pull out when things get rough. That's a living it, walking it out every single day. living for God, devoted to God. But you know, to have faith like that, you don't just talk about it, you be about it. You remember Coach Flock? Don't talk about it, be about it. That's what our old football coach used to tell us. But that he's exactly right. You don't just talk about Jesus and not live it and are able to go through a situation like that and be like that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1. It's all right, got it on my Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us run our race. Run our race. I don't like running. It's about the only race I will run because I got to. But you know, anybody ever heard of Max Licata? Licato? I don't know how to say his name. You ever heard of him? They told about him on the radio the other day. And he talked to a fellow that did a triathlon. Cam and triathlon, that's the only two times that'll ever be in the same sentence. But they was talking to this guy and asking him about preparing for that race. How do you do that race? I'll give you the stats on a triathlon. You have to swim 2.4 miles. You have to bike, pedal a bike, 112 miles. And you got to run. After all that, you got to run 26.2. People crazy. And they do that for fun. People's absolute crazy. But they was asking this guy, how do you do that? You remember we talked about it as a youth? He said, you can't run the long race without running the short race. He said, you don't swim 2.4 miles. You swim to the next buoy. He said, you don't bike 112 miles. You bike 1 mile. And when you finish that mile, you bike another mile. And when you run, you don't run the whole 26.2. You run 1 mile at a time. It's like in football, the most important play is the next play. It's always coming next. But to run the long race, what do you got to do? You got to run the short race. You got to run the short race. Like, let's say for weight loss, for example, a little bit of weight loss. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm never going to touch sweets again. I'm never going to drink another Pepsi, another Coke. I'm never going to do it. Don't set unrealistic goals for yourself. Take it day by day. You want to reach 50 pounds weight loss? You got to lose 5 first. It don't all just happen in a day. I remember a job one time we did. We had a client, he bought a place, and he wanted his place surrounded by cedar trees for a barrier where people couldn't see in. We're talking miles and miles of cedar trees. And you look from right here at the starting point, way down there, as far as you can see. And we got trees, we got trees set out that we're going to have to plant. That's overwhelming, y'all. But you know what you do? You put your head down and you plant this tree. You get it covered up. Go to the next tree and the next tree and the next. And before you know it, you look back. Look at all the victories you've done accomplished in life. All the steps you've taken, all the little things, piece by piece, step by step. You look back and you see all your accomplishments, all your victories, what God's got you through. And that kind of gives you a drive, a motivation to go on and finish that race we're talking about. But you got to run the short race to run the long race. Y'all know Stephen Furtick? That's my homeboy. He don't know me, but I know him. And that brother can preach. But he says that you can't fight today's battles on tomorrow's strengths. You take it day by day. When Jesus prayed, what did he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Don't give me Monday's bread. Don't give me Tuesday's bread. Today's Sunday. Give me this day, Sunday's bread for this day. You got to fight today's battles on today's strength. So let's go back to John chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 40. Andrew. Y'all know who Andrew is yet? No, he's not the guy in the sound booth. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you know who Peter is? Was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Y'all look at this. Look at this. Look at this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found a Messiah that is Christ. 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas. I don't know how to say it. We call him Peter. But verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Andrew's easily overlooked. But he may have done one of the biggest things in the Christian faith. Peter was one of the rocks of the church. He was one of the loudest, the most impactful people at Pentecost. What, 3,000 people got saved? Dude stood up and spoke. Holy Spirit, come on, and he spoke. 3,000 people got saved that day. But what if Andrew wouldn't have got him? What if Andrew wouldn't have found Jesus running at his brother? Dude, you got to meet this guy. We found him. This is the Messiah that John's been talking about. We have found him. But like I say, we all know the rest of the story, what Peter did. But every story, every big event has to start somewhere. Something has to have a beginning. It has to. Something don't just pop up. You know what I mean? It has to have a beginning. They got to start somewhere. But what if Andrew wouldn't have done his part? What if Andrew wouldn't have went and got his brother? What if he'd have just, you know, I met a really great guy today. Pretty sure he's the Son of God. But I ain't going to tell nobody about him. That sounds crazy, don't it? If you met the Son of God, wouldn't you want to tell somebody? Who in here shops? Nobody shops. Ooh, y'all lying in church. I'll tell y'all something. My mama wanted a jacket for Christmas one time. I'm not a big shopper. Like, I'm not a... Just walk in there and buy it. But I walked in there, and it was on sale. I don't remember how much it was on sale for, but it was on sale. On top of that, they had a doorbuster sale. And on top of that, I opened a card to get 20% off at the thing, because that's what you do when you go shopping. You get all the discounts you can. Amen? But I got a really good deal on that thing. So when I left, I called it. I was like a little woman. I called everybody I knew. Hey, man, I just got a heck of a deal. Y'all need to go to JCPenney? They got it rocking. It's popping over there. Jimmy, how many times have I texted you? Hey, man, they got a steel shot on sale. That's my duck hunting partner. They got a steel shot, Max Prairie Wing. Listen, it's discounted, and they even got free shipping. So you save like twice the money. It's free shipping. Don't you tell somebody about that? Well, hey, I got something better than that. Hey, man, listen, I got the key. I got the key to for mercy for your past. I got the key to grace for your future. I got the key to wipe away everything you've done. I got to tell you about this deal. How many of us do that? Oh, it got quiet then, didn't it? You'd rather tell somebody about shopping, but you won't tell them about how to get into eternity? Y'all, forever's forever. There's life after this. I don't care what you've heard. There is life after this. And those who don't believe, they're in for a rude awakening. Because the Bible's very clear. One day every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And people need to know that. There might be somebody you've been wanting to share the gospel with. Somebody you've been wanting to talk to. But you keep waiting on tomorrow. Or there's something I learned about last week. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Your tomorrow ain't guaranteed. So you got to go with urgency. The same way to Andrew, it says he run and got his brother. That's the same way we got to be with other Christians. I mean, we got to be as Christians. We got to go reach people. We got to go reach the lost. That fellow I was talking about, Mr. Brad, at their church in Waynesboro, they had a prayer room. And every Sunday, that's what the preacher told us. This is one of the things that Brad never asked for credit. He never asked for a show. But every Sunday, he said, Brad will be sitting in that prayer room praying for people. Well, one day, somebody come and brought the preacher a piece of paper that somebody had left behind. And the preacher said he knew exactly who it was because you couldn't read the writing. He knew it was Brad. And on that list, it wasn't his needs. It was a list of people that wasn't saved that he knew. And every single day he sat, on a Sunday, he sat and he prayed for those people. So my whole point of this message is we need to be like Andrew, right? And last night it brought me to tears when I was talking to Gentry because this fellow that I'm talking about, he had that figured out. That it wasn't him that could save people, but he would bring people to the one who could. That's our job. It's our job to bring people to Jesus, to let them have an encounter with Jesus. We got to get a fire lit under our butt, y'all. You know, hot potato, you got to let it go. Hot fanny, I don't know what you say, but we got to go. We got a gospel to preach. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But back in verse 14, how are they going to know if somebody don't tell them? How will they know that all their sins can be forgiven? That everything they've done can be wiped clean? That grace can be ushered in for good? That past, present, future sins are taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ? People need to know this. It's not just something you come talk about and it stays inside these walls. You got to live it outside. You got to go and get people. Anything short of sin to get them here, right? All we got to do is get them to the building. Sometimes you ain't got to get them to the building. You just got to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what he's done for your life. But people need to know. We've got to tell them. We got to get an urgency. You know, you think about it. Talk about everything's got to have a beginning. We all know Billy Graham, right? Somebody had to preach the gospel to Billy Graham, but nobody knows his name. Or is Billy Graham any more important than that guy? I believe every person that's ever been impacted by Billy Graham goes back to credit for that guy. Because without his faithfulness, Billy Graham would never be where he's at. I like to think of my daddy. My daddy's a preacher now. He's traveled all over the place to preach. He's been in Africa on mission trips. And every person that he's impacted goes back to Miss Charles Oglesby. Miss Charles tells me the story. They were right over there, wasn't you, Miss Charles? And daddy tried to leave. And he stopped by the road. And Mr. Charles, he tells me laughing, he said, that man finna get saved. And daddy turned right back around and come up. But has it always been an easy path? No. But that rascal, he's still preaching the gospel. And people's getting saved, and it all goes back to one man's faithfulness. My mama, when she got saved, Mr. Mel Daniels, you know what I'm talking about? Big guy sits over here, real loud, you can't miss him. He was my mama's pastor. But what you do is you introduce people to Jesus, and then God does the rest. Stephen Furtick, the guy I was talking about, somebody had to introduce him to the gospel. Somebody had to tell him about Jesus. That's our job, is to tell people about Jesus. And be humble enough when you do it. If they go on to do more or bigger or throw on a bigger platform, you should never feel envy towards that. You should be proud of that. Because look what God used you to do. You know, Mr. Charles, that's got to make y'all feel good when y'all sit back and y'all look at Daddy. I tell you what, it makes me feel good to sit back and look at Jen. Because y'all don't know her past. Y'all don't know her testimony, what she went through. But I know that it does my heart good to see where she is now and to know I had a part in that. The same way, could you imagine Andrew at Pentecost? When his brother Peter, I don't know if his big brother, little brother, whatever, but his brother Peter is preaching his guts out and people's getting saved. He's a man. He's got to feel some kind of pride like, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me the strength, the boldness to go and get him. What I'm trying to tell y'all is God can use you in ways you never thought could be possible. You just got to be willing to go and serve. And you also got to be humble enough that if they go bigger than you, that's glory to God. Because each and every single one of us have a part to play in the kingdom. Not all of us are preachers. You want to know something? I told Jen today, I never feel ready to speak. I feel like I was finna throw up over there a while ago. I'm like, I can't do it. But we do the announcements, and it's time to go. And I'm like, okay, they're handing me a mic. Let's get the show on the road. You got it, God. And God ain't let me down yet. But here's the thing. The gospel ain't about you. I'm sorry if people in here are self-centered. If you think the word revolves around you, I'm sorry, but it don't. The gospel is about the lost. The gospel is to reach people that don't know Jesus Christ. This place we're in, this ain't nothing but a building. We're the church, and we're called to be the hands and feet of God. We're supposed to mend the broken. Can we do it physically? No, but we can go out and tell people that God loves them. We can go out and show people the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Worship team, if y'all come on up. I just want everybody to know that no matter what you've been through, God can use you in a mighty way. You may be far from Christ. You may have never even heard about him until today. But y'all, it's never too late. As long as there's a breath left for you to take, you can call on the name of Jesus. But we have to have an urgency to go out and share God's word. Do you go out and beat people in the head with a Bible? Absolutely not. Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to listen to you. But they got to see something inside of you that's changed. They got to see, like the evidence we talked about, they got to see the evidence that this is real, that this ain't just something we do on Sundays. They want to see it Monday. They want to see it Friday and Saturday night. I want to see the same person on Friday and Saturday night that I do on Sunday mornings. But don't ever, ever let the devil make you believe the lie that you're not good enough to share the gospel. That is a lie from the enemy. Satan, he'll try to make you think that you're not capable, that you're inadequate, that you can't make a difference in somebody's life. That is a lie from the devil. You just don't know what I've done, Cam. You just don't know what I say earlier. It ain't about you. It ain't about what you did or didn't do. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. It's about his blood and his righteousness that has purified you. Because you know what? I'm unqualified to get up here. They shouldn't hand me a mic. But you know what? The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. And that qualifies every single one of us. You are called. You're not just a somebody. You're not just overlooked. God knew you for using your mother's womb. You're here for a reason, a purpose. We all have different callings. We all have different ways to share the gospel, to reach people. Ben, you cook at weddings. You can sit back and talk to people at weddings. You know, everybody's happy at a wedding anyways. You can talk with them. You can share the gospel. Whatever your field is, your job occupation, you can share the gospel there. Take advantage of that. You think you're the only one who feels like you're not good enough? I just told you, I'm up here preaching, and I never feel ready to speak. But if you keep waiting to get ready, you'll wait the rest of your life. Sometimes you got to go for it. Remember like Justin talked about, ready, fire, aim? Somebody, you got to go for it. You just got to take off. Because you're going to do your part, and if God's leading you to it, and you're listening to God and you're following God, he ain't going to leave you hanging. Anybody in here ever get mad when somebody pulls out right in front of you and just to turn 100 yards? You think y'all the only ones get mad? That makes me mad too. You're not alone. You ever eat more Oreos in one sitting than people should know about? Me too. It happens. You're not alone. You ever feel like you can't be effective in sharing the gospel with people? Me too. I still struggle with it. I still think God's got a sense of humor letting me get up here and do this. So you mean you have doubts too? You struggle with stuff? You don't understand everything? Me too. You get the picture I'm painting here. We're in this thing together. The thoughts that run through your head that nobody should ever see, that nobody should ever hear about? You're not the only one that has those. What I'm trying to say here is God can use you. However messed up you think you may be, the blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus purifies that. You're not alone. Y'all think the world hates you? Sometimes you thought the whole world's against you. Well, guess what? They hated Jesus too. They hated Jesus too. But you know what? We're ordinary people. That's all we are. I'm just a simple fat man from Sylvania. But you know what? I serve an extraordinary God that can do mighty and wonderful things through me. And it's not just me. He can do the same in every single one of your lives. But the thing is, you got to be open. You got to be willing to receive it. The same way Andrew running and grabbed his brother, we need to be running to our friends, running to our family, grabbing people, bringing them to Jesus, letting them know what he's done in our life. All throughout the Bible, we see story after story where God took little people, little ordinary people, and did huge things. Well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's still using the little man. He's still using the weak, the shame, the strong. And that's yours for the taking. That's yours for the taking. All you got to do is receive it. Like I said, no matter the calling, whatever your job is, I'm not any more important than you, and you're not any more important than me. It's a body. It takes all the limbs, all the attachments, I ain't gonna talk no more big words because I don't know any, but it takes everything to make it run, to make it flow. We got worship leaders. I can't sing. Y'all wouldn't want me leading worship. You wouldn't want Pastor Clint in the nursery. That's why people that have answered the calling on their life have been to those places, because they got to go where they're called. Go where God's leading you. And if he's leading you to go grab that friend and say, listen, man, I know things are tough. I know where you're at in life. You probably don't need to be there, because I've been there. Grab them. People need to know the love of Jesus. People need to know that there's life after this. People need to meet the Messiah. Remember the phone call? Hey, I got you to hook up for grace, for mercy, forgiveness, for eternity. How many of us need to get on that phone today and call somebody? Get on that phone and let people know. I want everybody to close your eyes and bow your head. Is anybody in here today that has never met Jesus Christ? You've never called on the name of the Lord. You've never made him your Lord and Savior. You never asked him to come into your life. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to lift your hand at me. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody in here is saved. Next question. If there's anybody in here today that you've called on the name of the Lord, you've made him Lord, your Lord and Savior, but there's no evidence of change in your life, you still do the same old stuff, you still go out and do the same old habits, there's no evidence of change, and today you're ready to call back on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm ready to come back to the foot of the cross. I've went my own way, I've done my own thing, and it ain't working, Jesus. Here I am, I'm back at the foot of the cross. If that's you, shoot a hand up at me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Father God, I thank you for every person that you've brought here. Father God, I thank you for the people that are calling out to you, Jesus. I thank you for the people that are calling on the name of the Lord, that are coming back to the foot of the cross. Father God, I thank you that today it's not a mistake that they're here. It's not a mistake that they came today, Father God, but they were here to meet you and encounter you, Father God, and I thank you that you will just use them in a mighty way. Use them in a mighty way, Father God, to go out and share your word.